was. The first was identified along Nord Stream 2 pipeline near the Danish island of Bornholm, and two further leaks were discovered afterwards. Denmark's energy agency announced a large amount of natural gas had streamed out. Aircraft and vessels were advised to stay at least 5 miles away from the site of the incident. Later, Swiss seismologists reported two explosions had been recorded along the routes of both pipelines on Monday, 26th of September. Sweden's Coast Guard discovered another gas leak from the pipelines on Thursday, 29th of September. Russia Today explains more about the same story. Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova said NATO conducted exercises using deep-sea equipment in the area where gas leaks in the Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 pipelines were detected recently. Maria Zakharova added that the entire Baltic Sea is packed full of the bloc's military infrastructure. Speaking at a regular press briefing on Thursday, 29th of September, Zakharova dismissed any allegations that Russia was behind the incident. She asked, "May I ask you a question? When exactly did Russia decide it wanted to stop supplying energy to Europe?" Zakharova said NATO was engaged in military activities close to the location where the leaks were found, noting that it might have presented an interesting opportunity for the bloc. She quipped, "So maybe the NATO bases never conducted exercises there, while American soldiers have never been stationed on the territory of nearby countries." Adding that this summer, in the area of Bornholm, Denmark, NATO conducted exercises that used deep-sea equipment. Maria Zakharova was apparently referring to Exercise Baltic Operations 22 in the Baltic Sea, which took place in June of 2022 and were meant to demonstrate the military bloc's mine-hunting capabilities. In particular, it sought to experiment with unmanned underwater vehicles, or UUVs, by deploying them off the coast of the Danish island of Bornholm. Zakharova urged Washington to offer an explanation and confess to the truth, saying that the US had left that job to Poland's former foreign minister, Radoslaw Sikorski, who earlier thanked the United States for destroying the pipeline. Furthermore, Russia's TASS news agency has more on this issue. Douglas MacGregor, former advisor to U.S. Defense Secretary in the administration of former President Donald Trump, said in a conversation with Andrew Napolitano, the presenter of the Judging Freedom podcast, the U.S. and the United Kingdom may be behind the explosions at Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 pipelines. Douglas MacGregor said, "You have to look at who are the state actors that have the capability to do this, and that means Britain's Royal Navy and the United States Navy. I think that's pretty clear." He also noted the publication by Poland's former foreign minister, European Parliament member Radoslaw Sikorski, who thanked the United States for damaging the Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 gas pipelines on his Twitter page. Former advisor to the Pentagon chief called the notion that Moscow was behind the incident at the pipelines absurd. He said, "The Russians did not do this," adding that Germany's involvement in the incident was extremely unlikely. According to Turkey's Anadolu news agency, the United Nations warned on Friday, 30th of September, that damage to the Nord Stream pipelines under the Baltic Sea can exacerbate price volatility in energy markets in Europe and around the world. The UN Security Council convened an emergency meeting requested by Russia to discuss the leaks in the Nord Stream gas pipelines.
Muhammad is my guide, Muhammad is my teacher, Muhammad my beloved Rasulullah.
I want to be like you.
Like you.
In everything I do, Ya Rasulullah.
I want to walk like you, talk like you, read my Quran just like you. Rasulullah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatihi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program Like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We constantly need to look at the life of our beloved Prophet and learn from him, because Allah says, wa lakum fi Rasulillah uswatun hasana. Indeed, in the Prophet, you have an example that you need to follow. He's our role model. A hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen you can find in the book Makarim al-Akhlaq in the chapter or section of Nubuwa, Prophethood. He says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, I'm going to skip some of them because we've already spoken to them about in other episodes. He said when he talks with a person and has a conversation with a person or debase a person, the Prophet is the first to become quiet. So he gives the chance for others to speak, and he gives himself the chance to listen and hear them out. Me and you, sometimes when we argue, when we talk, we never stop. We are the last to make sure that we are the last to talk so we can enforce our point. Now, you say what you have to say in a very short, precise words. If the other person understand them, good and well. If not, don't bother yourself, because that person, surely, his mind is shut. So the Prophet used to be the first to be quiet in terms of talking or arguments. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he never ever crossed his legs in the presence of other people. And sadly, sometimes we see this happening in the masjid. We see this happening in gatherings where people just cross, like they stretch their legs in front of people. That is rude. وَلَا خُيِّرَ بَيْنَ أَمْرَيْنَ إِلَّا أَخَذَ بِأَشَدِّهِمَا. When he's giving an option, he would always take the hardest of the options, because he wants to give the easy options to people. So for example, if there was a group of us and then we had to divide chores around us, and then I get the choice of doing something light or doing something heavy, I would have to choose the heaviest of chores, the heaviest of work. Why? Because I want to make sure that others are happy. So this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam and his akhlaq. He wants to make sure those who are around him are happy. Let us take a short break and then we'll continue right after.
You came to me in that hour of need, when I was so lost, so lonely. You came to me, took my breath away, showed me the right way, the way to lead. You filled my heart, showed me the love. Now all I want is to be with you.
Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Mustafa ala Habibika Nabika Mustafa.
Amir al-Mu'minin says, and when it comes to him and trying to get victory for himself, he would not do so. Like, he would not do so in case he might oppress other people. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be angry with him. وَمَا أَكَلَ مُتَّكِئًا قَطْ حَتَّى فَارَقَ الدُّنْيَا. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, when he eats, he never leans back on the wall or on the chair or whatever so he can eat comfortably and relaxed. He would sit like his back would be either stiff standing, or he would bend his back towards his food. He would never put his back against the seat or against the wall. Even in normal sitting, he would never do that, because he's always, like we said in previous episode, trying to maintain servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, وَمَا سُؤُلَ شَيْءٍ قَطْ فَقَالَ لَهُ. He was never asked for anything, and he said no. And obviously, in the halal way, right? So if someone comes to the Prophet and says, Ya Rasulullah, could you come with me, do this with me? He would say, sure. When people ask him of things, he would say, sure. He would give them. No, it was not part of the Prophet's life. Meaning he would always answer people. The hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen continues when he talks about the akhlaq of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And he says, وَكَانَ أَخَفُّ النَّاسِ صَلَاةً فِي تَمَامٍ. When he prays jama'ah with people, he would be the fastest in praying. Why? Because he's taking into consideration there are other people behind him who might be sick, who might not be able to pray for long, or they might just be busy and have things to do. So he would pray very fast to make sure that people get back to their work. Now, a lot of people, sadly, these days, they drag their salah, especially when it comes to jama'ah. They're trying to show their humbleness and their khushu' and what have you to people. Don't do that. Recently, I was praying after a person, and God, one prayer takes hours. I said, if I wasn't a Muslim, I would never pray again. Because he just, like, one ruk'ah takes him, like, I don't know, 3, 5, 10 minutes. It just drained the salah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, he would do it very quickly, very fast. Why? Because he's taking into account that there are people behind him. If it was up to him, yeah, he can, you know, take as long as he wants. So this is also something that I and you need to keep in mind if we want to pray.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Also, he says, وَكَانَ أَقْصَرُ النَّاسِ خَطْبًا. If you would want to deliver a speech, he would use the shortest of speeches, because obviously, for the reason that we mentioned, that there are people who have things. They're not going to be there listening to the Prophet lecturing them for hours. They, and especially back in the day with the Bedouins and the stuff like that, they just want to go back to their camels and their sheep. They don't have time to sit and listen to a very complicated lecture from the Prophet. So also, if you want to deliver a speech to people, keep that in mind. Keep it short and keep it precise. And he says, وَأَقَلَّهُمْ هَذْرًا, that when he talks, he doesn't talk about everything that comes to his mind and he keeps telling them stories. And he doesn't do that. He just tells them few simple words, things they can understand, things they can learn from, and he would leave it there. And last thing he says, وَكَانَ يُعْرَفُ بِالرِّيحُ الطَّيِّبُ إِذَا أَقْبَلُ, that when the Prophet, before he comes, you can smell his perfume miles away before he comes, not after he leaves. So basically what he's trying to say is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam constantly used to put perfume. Perfume was part and parcel of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Muslims, we need to have a massive selection of perfumes. I have, mashallah, I have a shop of perfumes in my own house. It's one of these nice things that not only you feel good about yourself, but it also people, when they come across you, they feel good. When you come, they can smell you, and you leave a trace of perfume. It makes people a little bit happier, comfortable. That was a trait of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So in terms of talking, he would use the best of words. In terms of praying, he would pray lightly and fast. In terms of talking, he would use precise and short words. He doesn't go on and on. In terms of being around them, he would come looking good, smelling good. And he leaves a good impression on people. These are the things that me and you as Muslims, we have to adopt in our lives, so we can be at least many versions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And we will, this way we will gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the pleasure of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself. We will leave it here, and inshallah we will continue this topic in episodes to come. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Be like Muhammad, live like Muhammad, see like Muhammad did. Be like Muhammad and live like Muhammad and give like Muhammad gave. Shafi'ullah, Habibullah, Nabiullah, Rasulullah, Khalilullah, the friend of Allah, ya Rasulullah,
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
Almost 2 weeks ago, unrest erupted in Tehran and soon spread to other parts of Iran. It was the death of a young woman in police custody that sparked the demonstrations. Demonstrations bursting out in flame and beating up the lone policeman. And this in a country where demonstrations are defined by law. So why would protesters not settle for this legal answer to their demands? And what are those extended demands? Answers here on Iran Today with me, Leila Faramarzi. In an account that sounds consistent with film, police said 22-year-old Mahsa Amini had a heart attack at a station, fell on the floor and died after 2 days in a coma. Almost immediately came the outburst on September the 16th, 2022. Numbers are not high, but protests were persistent and energetic and made the occasion their own. That's to say, they began with the death of a girl detained on account of imperfect observance of hijab. But protests went on to force further demands on the government. Mr. Lesani is a media expert and tutor. He made a trip to the studio to share his views and review media coverage of the incident.
People usually choose between these three narratives: those who accept the government's narrative, who mostly refer to the video that was provided, which starts from the time of her arrest in the van and then inside the police department. There was no violence, and this was the relevant organization's response. But the second narrative, which claims there has been violence, has got no evidence of the beating, and so it doesn't have any facts to back its claim. The third narrative is a cry, which wants to say we have the capability to instigate riots inside the country.
Now, separatists are known to have claimed they caused the incident, sacrificing Mahsa as cause for dissent and dividing the country. But if there were any truth to that, protests will have neutralized their attempt, because protesters were Iranians of all creeds and ethnicities, expressing solidarity. And it began with Tehranis, especially upset about the death of a visitor to their city. Mr. Movaffar is political desk chief at Fars News. We visited the agency while counter-demonstrations were on nearby.
I think people are ready to hear the truth and then judge accordingly. This is something we have seen in the wise people of Iran. The gathering that took place today in support of security and against the rioters does not mean that we have given up on the blood of Mahsa Amini and other issues. No, this gathering was against chaos and unrest. It is in support of security. The people certainly have questions, and they have a right to ask. They want to know what happened, and that is a duty of the Islamic Republic. There's a process that will take time.
The way protests turned into riots and vandalism, the pro-establishment understanding of them is that it's not likely they were a natural outburst of the people, but began with elements wanting to drive dissent and overthrow the Islamic Republic, or at least that they were later hijacked by hoodlums. Well, how protests proceeded each evening was basically that a row of motorcyclists would lead each crowd, only to escape on their wheels, leaving the youngsters behind to the police. Mr. Abdullah, he is editor-in-chief at Tasnim News. Regardless of agency tendency, he gives us his insight as a neutral media man each time we visit.
Perhaps you've seen those who wanted to agitate others and use this opportunity to instigate radical acts. We've seen the scenes they lit a police officer on fire who is a part of the people. If Miss Mahsa Amini was from the people, so are the police, or the ambulances they vandalized, and many other instances where public property was incinerated. Most of the time, the agitators were located abroad, someone who isn't willing to pay the price, and cannot do so even if they want to, since they are abroad. But they pay for this vandalism with our youth.
Talking of the police, they were themselves targeted, as were ambulances. Over 60 ambulances were destroyed while injuring several medical technicians and relief staff. Police vehicles and public property were also vandalized, and Muhajaba women were attacked. Unlikely for normal protesters to do so, because among women protesting the government over the years have been Muhajabas. That's women observing the Islamic dress code at its strictest.
This radicalization of the atmosphere and the riots and chaos harmed both the people by polarizing the country and also misled the discussion that should have been followed up logically. We aired an interview with the father of Mahsa Amini, who said, "We do not consent to these riots, and those who are rioting are not sympathetic to our cause." I was monitoring the feedback on Twitter to see where it was posted. Someone had written that it's no longer any of your business, and it was baffling. Other tweets that I saw said, "We came out in the name of Mahsa Amini, but now it's not your concern anymore, and Mahsa Amini is not your daughter anymore, she is everyone's daughter."
Whatever sparks demonstrations here, there's always a guiding hand from outside helping them proceed. And this time, although it's understandable why many might have spontaneously exploded into riot, it appears foreign hands were expecting it. Or at least, they were standing by ready. Our show guest tells how effective he thinks separatists might have been in fanning the flames. Separatists of Mahsa's ethnicity, say the Kurdish Komale, KDPI, and Peshmergas. Separatists haven't always treated their fellow Kurds as their own people, and dissent is no longer tangible in Iran's Kurdistan at large, according to police and journalists with a security background. How do you assess the possible role of separatists in guiding riots or sparking them?
Terrorist cells in Kurdistan, where she was originally from, wanted to exploit this scenario. Even though the history includes attacks against Kurds, and if anyone reads up on the history of the past 40-something years, they'll see how many of these groups have killed scores of Kurdish people, and savagely so. I know that the people are scared of these terror groups and know the history of horrific mass murders of Kurdish citizens. But now they conjured up this issue as an opportunity to start their activities.
The outside struggle to provoke them continues, however, and not just them, but any armed anti-government element or anti-Iran group even, basically the MKO. In fact, intelligence forces believe MKO-affiliated elements mixed in the crowd to explode handmade bombs among the protesters in Tabriz, a plot they thwarted.
I've been thinking about this for a while. The anti-revolutionary movement is getting dumber every day. I'm amazed at how naive they are. Their preparations get more complicated, but they lack in strategies. In 2009, they acted more professionally, and their media outlets were better organized. They had Ahmad News, and they defaced it by forcing it to spread military tactics. Now we see the BBC carry out the same duties.
Riots having turned violent, they have been banned as illegal. And the bravery of youngsters confronting the law, whatever their reason, is not to be undermined. It is the raw energy of a portion of the country's future. But in order for you to see why we as journalists listen to both sides and think twice before dismissing the possibility of conspiracy, I will give you some examples of U.S. statements and Israeli sabotage attempts. This while I remind you of the enthusiasm shown on mainstream Western media and Persian channels funded by adversaries over Mahsa when women abused and murdered by their own police, Western police and soldiers, were barely touched upon.
There's water something. Please.
Perhaps they think of Iran as the 51st U.S. state and an American concern.
For example, one of the outlets that played a big role in this regard and tried to exaggerate and exacerbate the situation was Iran International. Its affiliations are obvious. It's affiliated with Saudi Arabia. It also cooperates with the Mossad. Now let's take a look at Saudi Arabia. Their regime is the greatest dictator when it comes to oppressing men and women. On the other hand, it's officially a mouthpiece for terrorist groups like ISIS, al-Nasr and others. And it's supervised by bin Salman, who has a well-known history. They took Jamal Khashoggi to their consulate and they chopped him up there.
Here's an instance of the American dream turned into a nightmare. In August, Mabel Arrington, a 42-year-old African-American woman, was shot and killed by trigger-happy American police officers. Details were never made public. And in late September, U.S. troops killed Zainab Esam Majid al-Khazali, a 15-year-old Iraqi girl, during military drills in Abu Ghraib area, that's west of Baghdad. This happened while she was helping her father on their farm.
Now I want to make a comparison between an incident in Saudi Arabia and an incident in the Islamic Republic of Iran. In Iran, there was this claim that a girl named Mahsa was beaten, but videos came out from the relevant authorities showing that no beating took place. But international organizations unanimously requested accountability from the government. This is the Iranian narrative treatment. On the other side, there was a story in Saudi Arabia involving not just one girl, but many who had all been beaten by security forces violently, and the ruling party and Al Saud family provided no response. Now we don't even know where they are. This is the story of Khamis Masjid Orphanage. It became a global story, but it was boycotted by world media.
Such definitive judgments over the case of Mahsa Amini and only Mahsa Amini before investigations are even concluded. If the death of one is as bad as the death of all mankind, so the deaths of Arrington and Issam should also matter. Besides, Iran has not dismissed the issue of Mahsa. In fact, President Raisi ordered a probe into the cause of her death hours after the news broke out. Time for a short break. We'll be back in no time.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
As for instances of U.S. and foreign meddling to change the destiny of this country, be it by U.S., Saudi or MKO cyber attacks and interfering with the flow of internet services, or assassinations and the sabotage of installations by Israel or Mossad's aid to separatists, here are some examples listed earlier by Press TV. It is no coincidence that John Bolton, former U.S. National Security Advisor, said that the key to regime change is the Iranian people, who are a threat to the regime. Bolton made the statement at a conference organized by Albania-based anti-Iran terror group MKO in Washington.
The interesting thing here is that anti-revolutionary forces were at their ready. Their mobilization online is perplexing. Their messaging networks were quickly activated and very quickly lined up the celebrities and star athletes. Their media production was incredible, and we fell short in our media coverage in terms of sheer volume of content. We had reporters on the scene, and while they were busy recording videos and sending them, we saw a non-mainstream Telegram channel post hundreds of videos and images from the scene. It's obvious that they were seriously equipped.
We're talking of the same MKO that fought alongside Iraqi forces when Saddam Hussein attacked Iran in the 1980s. The very MKO that the U.S. and European Union actually removed from their list of terrorist organizations, just to use them as proxies against Iran, their fatherland.
After 2017, unrests in Iran have become inconclusive. The social elites don't enter the field. There's a difference between the unrest in 2019, 2021, and this year's, and the unrest back in 2009. Back then, there were political leaders, a leader that would make statements, give directions, and make demands, and facilitate other activities. But today, who would you name as the leader of this opposition? Who is managing it? There's no noteworthy person.
In 2012, NBC reported that Israel has used an Iranian opposition group to carry out those much-publicized assassinations of Iranian scientists. In the same year, The New Yorker reported that MKO was provided with extensive training by the U.S. Defense Department's Joint Special Operations Command, JSOC. MKO, or MEK, is dubbed Munafiqin in Iran, meaning hypocrites. Now, to go back to Mahsa, for what exactly was the cause of death, we'll have to wait for investigations to complete. Whether protests were run by ringleaders or were indeed just the natural social combustion, they were responded to a couple of times by counter-protests. Because the government does have a supportive base at the end of the day, and they took to the streets to protest vandalism guiding or mixing with protests. The message is do peaceful protests and get a peaceful response. In the constitution of this country, peaceful protest has been foreseen. Why would the real demonstrators not think this enough in getting an answer to their demands?
Our
constitution recognizes legitimate protests, and I think we need an organized entity for protesting so that anyone who wants can demonstrate their protest and see the results. It doesn't necessarily mean showing up to the streets, but the ruling body must hear their voices and their protests must be heeded and relevant actions must be taken, although not to the extent that every dissenter gets what they want by protesting. But the objections must be made public and the dialogue should take place between the ruling entity and the people. I believe that this must be fixed and the process must be fortified and optimized.
The Atlantic Council has interestingly observed that many Iranians, including opponents and critics of the Islamic Republic, still seem concerned about the possibility that the alternative to the current regime could be worse and that a revolutionary change could lead to political chaos and might be exploited by Iran's enemies to disintegrate their motherland. Not only does the chance of exploiting ethnic divisions to incite minorities to revolt against Tehran seem slim, it may turn out to be counterproductive and encourage many Iranians to rally around the flag.
Hijab is like a crown for a Muslim woman, and all the enemies of Islam need to know that. They can never take away hijab and beliefs of an Iranian Muslim woman, neither view force nor plots.
The enemies of Iran are absolutely wrong. They are so naive that they think they can overthrow this government by deceiving some small groups of youths and through some riots and vandalism. We have shed blood for this revolution, and this blood will protect us and the country. I believe that if the U.S. government allows and leaves us alone, the relationship between women with hijab and women without it will be very intimate and friendly, as it used to be during all these years. In the past few days, the protests have unfortunately derailed towards blasphemy and insulting our religious values, from hijab to Quran and the entire Islam. And all these in a country run by Islamic government. They broke the law. I think such actions are threats to the security and interests of the country.
The Iranian army strongly condemned riots turning violent, and the Islamic Revolution Guard Corps, IRGC, launched artillery attacks on positions of the Komales based in northern Iraq, amid reports of their involvement in the trouble. Apparently, members of the group sneaked armed elements and huge caches of arms into Iran to prop up rioters. Iran's intelligence ministry released a statement claiming that what it dubbed as Israeli-linked agents, who earlier allegedly planted strong explosives at a facility in the central Iranian province of Isfahan, belonged to the Komala terrorist group. The ministry said they were directly chosen by the group's head, Abdullah Mohtadi, and were introduced to Israel's Mossad. We come to the nature of inviting to good and warning away from evil. A teaching in the Quran would be toward peaceful coexistence and better living conditions. So why would it end in disaster? Perhaps it's because of the way it's practiced or the legal infrastructure it's based on.
Look, based on the laws passed in the Supreme Council of the Cultural Revolution and the Constitution, some organizations have been tasked with certain duties. One of the duties of the police is the ultimate implementation of Islamic moral guidelines, although I should say that it is merely the title of the law, since the police is not obligated to carry out cultural reform. The entire ruling body understands that, and cultural reform has its own enacting body. But sometimes a person crosses all the red lines and refuses to obey the law. And hijab is a law in our country, but it is not observed. What should be done in that situation? If we were to give up enforcing the law, that would be a mockery of the government if we gave up on our laws.
By the time the issue is assigned to experts such as sociologists for study and conclusion, we find virtual networks, especially Twitter, have already attacked the government. Hashtag Mahsa Amini has been retweeted more than 40 million times. That's about 10 times more than the trendiest hashtags on Twitter. That's greatly because of celebrities and human rights activists and organizations retweeting. This is while government content was hacked and blocked.
We pointed to Persian channels in English-speaking countries. Now, next to these, what would be the role of social media in inflaming the riots or even sparking them?
When it comes to social media, we're dealing with a fabricated army that's playing a role in the case of Mahsa Amini's sudden death. We have this concept in psychological warfare and social media called astroturfing, which are fake grass carpets. It looks like grass, but it's made out of synthetic material. In appearance, they are people. But in fact, they're not people. They're just actors who have been paid to play a role. Although it's not a high percentage of the protesters, and we aren't claiming that 50 to 40% of the protesters are astroturfing. In fact, astroturfing is used when a movement is about to blow up and in its initiation. It puts the movement on a certain track, and once it has established its own narrative, regular people start to act.
The hacktivist group Anonymous targeted many state-run websites and services. It also claimed more than 2,000 street surveillance cameras were hacked. This while trying to raise protesters' awareness about how they can keep using the net while the government felt it was necessary to cut internet access. The agenda is clear, spreading their own word to drive dissent.
In any country, in France, in the United States, we see the police confront protesters. We had the Occupy Wall Street movement, if you remember, when Facebook didn't even let you post the Occupy Wall Street hashtag. As soon as you sent the hashtag, it would disappear and your message would get deleted. What took place on Facebook showcased a dual policy. When Mr. Trump's tweets were calling for violence, his account was banned and he was denied online activity. But how is it that making all sorts of techniques for making handmade bombs and fighting with police is being shared systematically on social media? I think they should answer for that.
Actual protesters may have not thought legal, peaceful demonstrations to suffice, or not had time to think before acting. But one outlook is that violence, too, is no good, as it will only backfire, because government forces and decision-makers may see no choice but to tighten controls.
That'll be it for this day. Thanks from the whole team. Bye for now.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
Okay. Respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem in IRIB English Radio. I'm really happy that alhamdulillah we're back again with you with the next Quran session, and inshallah in this session we'll be working on ayah 26 of Surah Al-Baqarah, the same as the previous sessions. Okay, ayah 26. Before we start, Ali Nasir and Fawad Haider, we will listen to this ayah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Inna Allah la yastahyi يضرب مثلا ما بعوضة فما فوقها فأما الذين آمنوا فيعلمون أنه الحق الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ
So alhamdulillah we listened, now I will be reciting Ali Nasir and Fawad, listen and repeat, all right?
Okay.
Ready?
Yes.
Okay. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
إن الله لا يستحي أن يضرب مثلا ما بعوضة فما فوقها
إن الله لا يستحي أن يضرب مثلا ما بعوضة فما فوقها
أحسن فأما الذين آمنوا فيعلمون أنه الحق من ربهم
فأما الذين آمنوا فيعلمون أنه الحق من ربهم
وأما الذين كفروا فيقولون ماذا أراد الله بهذا مثلا
وأما الذين كفروا فيقولون ماذا أراد الله بهذا مثلا
أحسن ما شاء الله يضل به كثيرا ويهدي به كثيرا
يضل به كثيرا ويهدي به كثيرا
وما يضل به إلا الفاسقين
وما يضل به إلا الفاسقين
MashaAllah. Sometimes Allah Almighty makes examples, okay? Like He's trying to help us understand things, okay? For example, in the previous verses, we had a lot of examples for the non-believers, okay? Or for example, the hypocrites, yes?
Yes.
The munafiqeen, okay? Allah Almighty had a lot of examples. So it's just to make us understand. It is just to make us understand. For example, Allah Almighty, okay, compares like the truth, okay, the truth, al-haq, okay, compares to what? To a tree, which has like a lot of good fruit, okay, and has no worms, has no germs, okay, like this. And also, Allah Almighty compares batil, okay, the wrong way or the wrong path, okay, to what? To a tree which has worms and germs, which doesn't have fruit, okay, which is just a corrupt one, okay?
Yes.
So Allah Almighty makes these examples to make us understand, okay? Make us understand. And also a lot of, like, compares that Allah Almighty has, a lot of explanations that Allah Almighty has, a lot of examples about heavens and hells, okay? They're also to make us understand, okay? They have interpretations, okay? I want you to refer to the Tafsir book as well. Make sure you study and learn them. So here as well, Allah Almighty says that if Allah Almighty is making examples, even if Allah Almighty makes an example of mosquito, okay, just to make you understand. So those who are believers, they will know that, yeah, of course, Allah is the fact, okay? Allah is the truth. Allah is right, okay? He's making example. This is the example of Allah Almighty. We accept it, okay? And those who do not believe, they say, what does Allah Almighty want? What does He say? Why He makes these examples? With these examples, He wants to, for example, mislead some people and guide the other people. So they are non-believers. Non-believers do not accept the words of Allah Almighty. So whatever they want, they say. But believers, they are obedient. They have obedience. They accept the words of Allah Almighty. Okay? So this is accepting the words of Allah Almighty is one of the attributes of mu'mineen, the believers, okay? And not accepting is, disobedience is, what? The attribute of non-believers.
Yes.
So,
yes.
If you are a believer, you have to listen to the words of Allah Almighty. So, let's go on to this ayah and practice the tajweed rules.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
Inna Allaha la yastahi. The word Allah Almighty, we have told you a lot, okay, and I will repeat that the word Allah, whenever there is a fatha sound before the word Allah or a dhamma sound, the word Allah, the lam, the little lam of the word Allah, will be pronounced heavily. Inna Allaha. Not laha. Inna Allaha. If there is a kasra, it will be pronounced lightly. Illa. So, remember this always. La yastahyi. There is ya mad plus hamza. They are not in the same word. So, the mad is ja'iz. And you can stretch it or do not stretch it. Ayya dhurba. Ayya dhurba. We have many examples of idgham here. In this ayah, an ya dhuriba, nun sakin plus ya, what rule is applied?
Idgham.
With ghunna or without ghunna?
With ghunna.
With ghunna. An ya dhuriba, an ya dhuriba, mathalan, ma ba'udatan. Again?
Idgham.
Mathalan, ma ba'udatan. Ba'udatan, tanween plus fa, rest of the letters.
Ikhfa.
Ikhfa. فَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا. Alright, so you can stop here. Jim, jim means it is jais. It's okay, you're permitted. Okay, you're allowed to stop here. Or you can continue even, okay? But it's okay if you stop. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ نُنْ سَاكِنْ بْلَسْ رَا Idgham, with or without ghunna?
Without
ghunna. Mir rabbihim, just merge them and do not pronounce, and do not produce a nasal sound. Mir rabbihim, no. No nasal sound. Just mir rabbihim. Make sure ra has a heavy sound. Mir rabbihim. Wa amma alladhina kafaru fayaquluna mada aradallahu. Mada alif mad plus Hamza in the next word, they are not in the same word, right? So what rule is applied? What type of mad is it?
Jaiz munfasil.
Jaiz munfasil. You don't need to stretch, but if you stretch, it's okay. Mada aradallahu bihada mathala. Look, mathalan.
Yes.
There on the top of mathalan, there is a meme, a tiny meme, right, Fawad?
Yes.
Okay, so what does it mean?
You can stop.
You can stop. Ah. For what? Does it mean that?
No.
It means you have to stop. In the previous ayah, I think, yes, we had. Rizqan qalu. Rizqan. You don't have to stop at that word. But here it means you have to stop here. Meme is taken from the word lazim. Lazim.
Yes.
It is lazim. It is wajib. It's obligatory to stop here. This type of meme, okay? Which has this style, okay? But we have another meme also. That's for the rule. Iqlab.
Iqlab.
Yes, we have an iqlab meme, okay? A meme that is used for iqlab. It is just like a grandma's walking stick.
Yes.
That meme, okay? That meme is for iqlab. But this meme is for waqful lazim. You have to stop. So, mathala. And change that tanween to alif mad.
Alif.
Yudillu bihi. Stretch the ya sound. Bihi kathiran. Kathiran plus waw. Tanween fatha plus waw. إضغام كثيرا ويهدي به كثيرا. You can stop here. If you stop, تنوين فتحة will be changed forward to ويهدي به كثيرا. If you join this to واو
كثيرا
كثيرا إضغام with غنة or without غنة
with
غنة. And if you stop كثيرا تنوين فتحة
كثيرا
will be changed to
ألف مد
ألف مد. But make sure the را is like the letter را. It's the name را كثيرا. And here also we have a جيم which says that you are allowed to stop here. وما يضل به إلا الفاسقين إلا ألف مد plus همزة الوصل إلا الفاسقين, right?
Yes.
So ألف مد will be changed to a fatha sound. It's no longer a long vowel. إلا الفاسقين.
Short vowel.
Yeah, short vowel. So alhamdulillah, this ayah is well finished. Make sure you practice as you hear us. Please practice and take notes. The tajweed rules are very important. Now, before we finish this session, let's once again listen to this ayah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Inna Allah la yastahyi an yadrib matalan ma ba'udatan fama fawqaha. فأما الذين آمنوا فيعلمون أنه الحق من ربهم وأما الذين كفروا فيقولون ماذا أراد الله بهذا مثلا يضل به كثيرا ويهدي به كثيرا وما يضل به
So thank you so much. We listened to this ayah again, and I hope you practice, inshallah. Ali Nasir, thank you so much for joining us today, and Fawad Haider, inshallah, we'll be here again with you in the next coming sessions. I really recommend you stay with us and make sure you listen always to IRIB English Radio. So thank you so much. Thanks to Allah Almighty. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Xavier International Schools Network. That's all for today. Thank you so much. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio.